Over with me to the book of Philippians. We're going to continue on. We're at chapter 2 now. Have you ever had one of those moments when you realized you were on the wrong track? And it was going to be a tough time getting things straight. Some years ago, a vacuum cleaner salesman determined to go door to door, but he left the city to tackle customers in the country. It would be more work, he thought, but he'd take his big city slogan and find out of the way homes where he'd sell his vacuum cleaners. He went as deep as he could into the backwoods, knocked on the first door, nearly pounced on the elderly lady who greeted him. He quickly launched into a sales pitch, pointing out the features of his machine, telling her everything he could do about the new technology his vacuum cleaner had. He talked so fast and showed her so many functions, she didn't have a chance to say a word. Suddenly, right in the middle of his sales pitch, he saw an ashtray on the table. He picked it up, dumped the contents on the floor. His client was stunned and still speechless. "Ma'am," he declared with confidence he developed in the city, "with this machine, what this machine won't pick up, I'll lick up." Finally, she was able to talk, and the old lady said, "Well, sonny, you better get started because there ain't got no electricity out here." Getting back on the right track a lot of times in life can be rather distasteful. When it comes to getting along with other Christians, the Bible doesn't waste words either. If we're really going to get along, we'll have to model the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And through this passage this morning of Philippians chapter 2, it goes through and it talks about, we're about to read a passage that uses the word "if" several times. And we can actually change that word from "if" to "since." If you go back to the Greek and understand the conditional participle, and it works like this. If I'm going to church today, I better get out of bed and get dressed. But you're really saying, since I'm going to church today, and since the clock tells me I'm already late, I better get out of bed and get dressed. So as we read the passage this morning, just remember, it's not really if, the word is since. We have seen that Paul wrote this letter to encourage the Philippians in their faith, help them understand their role as partners in the gospel with him. The gospel of Christ was the absolute highest priority for Paul. And in today's passage, he shows how true Christian fellowship is essential to advancing the gospel. True Christian fellowship is the purpose of our life. And that is why Paul urges the Philippians to practice true Christian fellowship in these verses. He is concerned that the Philippians might allow inner divisions to disrupt their unity and keep them from advancing the gospel. Look at verse 1. It says, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercy." And I believe true Christian fellowship is motivated by God's love for us in Jesus Christ. And you can change that to the word "since." Since you have any encouragement from being united with Christ. Since you have any comfort from his love. Since you have fellowship with the Spirit. Since you have tenderness and compassion. True Christian fellowship is motivated by God's love for us in Christ. The first thing Paul says here is, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ. Just think about that. As a Christian, do you have any encouragement from being united with Christ? Look over with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. First verse I was going to look up is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." What an encouragement it is to have your sins forgiven, to be made a new creation, that old things are passed away. Look at verse 21. "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." What an encouragement that Jesus took our sin upon himself, clothed you in his righteousness instead. You can look up in Matthew. What an encouragement it is that Jesus promised to never leave you or forsake you. You can go on and on and on with all the promises that God has relayed for us, but what an encouragement it is in Jesus Christ. He goes on to talk about if any comfort of love. You know, I believe the Apostle Paul is talking about God the Father here. The Apostle Paul talks about the Trinity a lot, but I believe he's talking about God the Father. But Paul is appealing to our experience of God's love for us in Christ. As a Christian, do you have any comfort from knowing that God loves you? What comfort that can be? That He chose you before the creation of the world. That He sent His only Son to die for you. That He has adopted you into the family of God. That He loves you. He did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. What comfort we can have. What comfort of love from the Lord Jesus Christ that we can have. He continues on in that same scripture. If any of fellowship of the Spirit. If you have any fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That word fellowship can be a partnership. It can be a sharing. It's the same word that we saw back in chapter 1 when Paul first spoke about us being partners in the gospel. He wants us to partner with Him. He wanted the Philippians to partner with the Apostle Paul. It was a partnership to share the gospel. As Christians, we all share together in the gift of the Holy Spirit. We all have experienced this wonderful fellowship with the Spirit. And it's through the Holy Spirit that God the Father and Jesus the Son come to dwell within us. Again, what comfort that brings to us in such trying times. What comfort that brings to us each and every day. It's through the Holy Spirit that we cry, Abba, Father. We are God's children. It's through the Holy Spirit that we receive guidance and counsel and the peace of Christ. We have that peace that passes all understanding. It's through the Holy Spirit that we are made one in the body of Christ to bring glory to God the Father. And he closes out that first verse, if you have any tenderness and compassion, bowels and mercy, tenderness and compassion. These two words are primarily used in Scripture of God's love for us. God has a love that's a tender compassion as a father loves his child. Once you have kids, you understand that tenderness. You understand that compassion. You understand that feeling that you have for them. In Psalms 103, it says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. He's saying here that our experience of God's love should affect our relationship with each other. When we understand the compassion that the Lord has for us, when we understand the tenderness that he has for us, it should pass on to everyone else. If there be therefore any encouragement in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Holy Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion. He continues on in verse 2, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. True Christian fellowship is united around the gospel of Christ. That's what he's talking about here. Is he wants the Philippians to be united. He wants him to be united. He wants everybody in the body of Christ to be united and be brought together. It brings him joy. He encourages them to overcome their divisions by focusing on the common goal. When you focus on the goal and focus on the end result, you don't worry about the nitpicky stuff. Paul is already full of joy as he prays for the Philippians, as the gospel is preached in Rome. But now he asks the Philippians to make his joy complete. And that is by sharing the gospel, by being united around the gospel of Christ. And he asks them here to do three things. And the first thing is being like-minded. Is it pretty simple to be like-minded? Pretty easy to be like-minded with your spouse, with your boyfriend, girlfriend, with your brother, sister, with your mother, father. But he's asking us to be like-minded with other believers. Set your mind on the same thing. What does Paul want us to focus on? Again, he wants us to focus on that partnership in the gospel. Paul was in chains because of the gospel. Paul rejoiced that the gospel was being preached. Paul has called on the Philippians to live their lives in a manner worthy of the gospel. Paul is encouraging them to be like-minded around the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, he talks about is the same love. Having the same love. A Christian community is a loving community. You can't have a Christian fellowship without love. And each person in the body of Christ should have the same love for each other. You know, we've got to show the love. We can't lead anyone to the Lord until we show them the love of Christ. You know, we may totally disagree with their lifestyle, but just showing them love doesn't mean we agree with that lifestyle. We have to show them love. He's talking about the love that God has for us that we can pass on to one another. And then he continues on, being one spirit, being of one accord, of one mind. Make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one spirit and purpose. Again, this last phrase brings out the idea of a common goal once again. When we're striving for that same goal, when we're striving for the same end result, being one spirit and purpose refers to being united as one soul, one person for a common task. We're united together around the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're united together around the body of Christ. We're united together to share the gospel with everyone around us. He continues on in verse 3 and 4. He says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." True Christian fellowship, we humbly serve each other as modeled by Christ. This is what we're called to do. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. You know, the selfish ambition was exactly the problem Paul addressed back in chapter 1 about those who were preaching Christ from false motives. Maybe they were doing it for their own glory. Maybe they were doing it for their own accomplishments. Maybe they were doing it for their own money. But the former preached Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble, for while I am in chains. You know, there's no room for competition or rivalry in the Christian faith. The Apostle Paul speaks about vain conceit, which basically means empty glory. Anytime we try to take glory for ourselves instead of serving others. You know, and next week we'll be able to talk about it a lot, but Jesus Christ emptied himself to become a man. To be able to go to that cross for us. You know, you cannot experience true Christian fellowship when you act out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. There was a story about the turtle once who wanted to come to Florida for the winter. He knew he could never walk all the way, so he talked to the two ducks who shared his pond. They were better equipped for long distance travel. He found a piece of stout cord and persuaded each of them to take an end while he would. And while he, with his strong jaws, held on the center. It was a pleasant flight, and everything was going as planned until someone on the ground looked up and said with admiration, "Who in the world thought of that?" Unable to restrain the impulse to take full credit for the idea, the turtle opened his mouth to say, "I did." Again, we allow the vain conceit, we allow our pride, we allow everything to take over and say, "That was my accomplishment. That was me." You see all these selfies on Facebook today. It's all about me, me, me. when we're lifting others up. You know, a few years back in Illinois, they introduced personalized license plate for the first time. And the Department of Motor Vehicles received more than 1,000 requests for the number one. It's a lot of number ones. The state official whose job it was to approve requests said, "I'm not about to sign it to someone and disappoint 1,000 people." So he decided to assign it to himself. We have to consider others better than ourselves. It's a daily task. It's a job that we wake up and say, okay, this is what I have to do. Consider others better than yourselves. Rather than selfish ambition or vain conceit, we should practice humility and consider others. That word better here doesn't mean better in the sense of more valuable or a better person. It means better in the sense of more important. I read once, every person you always talk to act like they are the most important person in the world because to themselves they are. And when you begin to live your life that way, whether you like them or not, whether they're different than you or not, whether they are the most important person in the world. Love begins when someone else's needs are more important than my own. Show that love. And he continues on in verse 4, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." And that word look means to contemplate, to gaze, to focus on. What are you focused on in your life? Are you focused on your own needs? Are you focused on others? Whose life are you putting first? It doesn't mean to neglect your own needs, but you need to look around and find ways that you can serve others. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says that love is not self-seeking. And also 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. We need to have the attitude of Jesus Christ, who did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. In true Christian fellowship, we humbly serve others the way that Jesus Christ served us. The way that Jesus Christ showed us his love. The way that Jesus Christ did everything for us. So this morning, true Christian fellowship is motivated by God's love for us. True Christian fellowship is united around the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. True Christian fellowship, we humbly serve each other, modeled by Jesus Christ. I believe God's love for us in Christ is ultimately expressed through the gospel. When you realize what he did for you on that cross, when you realize that he went to that cross to pay for your sins, there's nothing else you have to do. There's nothing you have to do. It's done. It's paid for. It's handled. And we can be united around that. Whether we have differences, whether we have disagreements, whatever it is, we can be united around the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our families, our neighborhoods, our communities. And not only the gospel of Christ can not only save us, but Christ provided the example. He shows us how to live that life. So it's our job to advance the gospel. It's our goal to advance the gospel. It's our job as the body of Christ to advance that gospel together, to be united together. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Let us pursue the joy of true Christian fellowship together. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for a wonderful morning, Lord. We just thank you that through the word, that through the gospel, through your Son that went to the cross to pay for our sins, that we can be unified, that we can be together, that we can be one. We don't have to have differences. We don't have to have disagreement, but we are one in the body of Christ. And we can spread the gospel. We can spread the good news. And we share with others the love of Jesus Christ when we show the love to them as well. We just thank you for what your Son did on the cross of Calvary, that you came and paid for our sins, that we could have eternal life. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.